If you have your Bibles, turn to John chapter 8. John chapter 8. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Dear Lord, thank you for this day. Thank you for gathering us together. I just pray that you be with us in the reading and study of your word. Help us to understand it. Help us to be fruitful. And Lord, give me the ability to teach this now. In Jesus' most holy, precious name, amen. John chapter 8 and verse 1. Jesus went unto the Mount of Olives, and early in the morning he came again into the temple. And all the people came unto him, and he sat down and taught them. And the scribes and Pharisees brought unto him a woman taken in adultery. And when they had set her in the midst, they say unto him, Master, this woman was taken in adultery in the very act. Now Moses in the law commanded that such should be stoned. What sayest thou? And this they said, tempting him, that they might have to accuse him. But Jesus stooped down and with his finger wrote on the ground, as though he heard them not. So when they continued asking him, he lifted up himself and said unto them, He that is without sin among you, let him first cast a stone at her. And again he stooped down and wrote on the ground, and they which heard it, being convicted by their own conscience, went one by one, beginning at the eldest, even unto the last. And Jesus was left alone, and the woman standing in the midst. When Jesus had lifted up himself and saw none but the woman, he said unto her, Woman, where are those thine accusers? Hath no man condemned thee? She said, No man, Lord. And Jesus said unto her, Neither do I condemn thee. Go and sin no more. Again, the title of this message is, Do you know what is it like to be forgiven? Verse 4 says that she was caught in the very act. Verse 5 said that this was a violation of Moses. It says, Now Moses in the law commanded us that such should be stoned. What sayest thou? So let's go hold your place with a pen or a napkin or whatever you have. Hold your place in this text and let's go to Leviticus chapter 20, verse 10. Just to show where they referenced whatever they sought to accuse him. Leviticus chapter 20, verse 10. Again, hold your place in John. We're just reading one verse out of Leviticus. And the man that committeth adultery with another man's wife, even he that committeth adultery with his neighbor's wife, the adulterer and the adulteress shall surely be put to death. There's a lot of unknowns that we have about this text. Where was the man? Where was the man? We don't know who the man was. Could it have been one of the Pharisees themselves? We don't know. The Bible doesn't say. Could it have been one of the Pharisees' relatives like their son? We don't know. The Bible does not say. Guess what else we don't know about it? What did he write in the dirt? Nobody knows what he wrote in the dirt. And you can entertain yourself for hours on end by looking up YouTube videos on what did Jesus write in the dirt. And everybody can speculate what did he write in the dirt, but nobody really knows what did he write in the dirt. There was one person said, I bet it's the man's name. I've heard another person say, I bet that he wrote Leviticus 20 verse 10 in the dirt to remind them that you didn't get the man too, you hypocrites. And then another person said that I bet he looked at each Pharisee and named the women by name that they were with. And then another person said that he just wrote the last sin that each person did recently or something. But nobody knows what did Jesus write in the dirt. The Bible didn't tell us. We don't know, and we will not know until we get to heaven. There's a lot of unknowns about what we just read. But one thing you can know is exactly what it's like to be forgiven. You can know without a shadow of a doubt that you are forgiven and a child of God. Amen? Understand that this woman was in fact guilty though. He called what this woman did sin. He said, no man, she said, no man. And Jesus said unto her, neither do I condemn thee, go and sin no more. He called what she did sin. So she was a guilty party in this deal. She was a guilty part. She was guilty. But he showed mercy unto her. And so this woman was guilty. She was taken in the very act. She was drugged, most likely naked, because they caught her in the very act and drugged her and humiliated her and brought her right in the middle of this temple where everybody can... They made a spectacle out of her, basically. Could you imagine the shame that she felt? My goodness, I could not imagine. Could you imagine the shame? They made a spectacle out of her. But one thing I want to point out, though, is Jesus did not say, don't stone her. Because if he had said, don't stone her, he would have went against the law of God. But he said, those of you that are without sin, throw the first stone. He revealed to them that the law is right in that all deserve to die, but you are wrong to condemn anyone yourself. Anybody and everybody is a sinner. Each and every one of them men dropped their stones, did they not? The only person who had the right to stone her, Jesus was sinless. He was sinless, but he offered grace and mercy. And that is a beautiful, beautiful picture of salvation. And the law was fulfilled because he took her death penalty at Calvary. He took her death penalty at Calvary. So the first point that I want to make, do you know what it's like to be forgiven? The same thing happened to you and me when you and I got saved. We deserved death and condemnation, just like her. The law proves it. We are all sinners. And there is no righteous, no, not one. We are all sinners. We deserve death and condemnation. And you understand that your sin violates God's righteous commandments. She understood that she was as good as dead whenever they drug her in that temple. She knew she was about to get what she deserved. But God, by His grace, the Lord extended mercy. That is a beautiful picture of salvation. Whenever a person comes to that realization, I'm a sinner. I deserve to be in the lowest pit of hell, but I want mercy. And so they look to Calvary. They look to Christ and receive mercy. That is a beautiful, beautiful picture of salvation. The Lord has the right to condemn us, but He extends mercy to whosoever. You can know what it's like to be forgiven. There is so many things that we do not know about the text. I mentioned that nobody knows where the man was. Nobody knows what he wrote in the dirt. But you can know without a shadow of a doubt that you stand forgiven by the grace of God. Aren't you glad that you're saved today? Aren't you glad that you're washed in the blood? Aren't you glad you have a heavenly Father? Aren't you glad that you have received Christ as your Savior, God's own begotten Son? Aren't you glad that you have an indwelling Comforter, the Holy Spirit? Aren't you glad you're not going to hell? Amen. Aren't you glad heaven is your home? Amen. Aren't you glad to be heaven bound with the hammer down? Aren't you glad to be saved? It's good to experience forgiveness. Have you experienced salvation yourself? Could you imagine the weight that came off of her shoulders, knowing that no man condemned her? She experienced mercy and grace. That is salvation. No man could bring your past up to God. You have an old accuser who may try. That devil may bring up your past to you, but whenever he brings it up to God, he's going to say, what past? It's covered in the blood and washed away. Amen. Washed away in the blood. It is removed as far as the east is to the west. No man can press a charge against you if you are a child of God. Amen. Do you know what it's like to be forgiven? If you don't, you can today. Amen. My second point that I want to make is appreciating forgiveness. There are a lot of people who are saved. They get the warm fuzzies inside. They hear those gospel songs for the first time. They feel like crying. Whenever you're singing those hymns, you get excited. Whenever you read a new verse in the Bible, that just the Lord shows you exactly what it meant, and it just gets you excited. And then later in life, as you grow as a Christian, you slow down. You get content. And you start not showing your appreciation for the Lord as much. We should be appreciative of God's grace, regardless of whether you've been saved for 50 years, 5 years, or 5 minutes. We should appreciate our salvation every day. Amen? How do we show appreciation? Well, the Bible says in John chapter 8, verse 11, the Lord said, go and sin no more. Now, you and I know we're incapable. We're incapable of being perfect. But we should show our appreciation for living for Him. Salvation does not make you sinless. It should make you want to sin less. Amen? Amen? You cannot be perfect. Go with me to Romans chapter 6, though. Romans chapter 6. Romans chapter 6. We'll begin reading in verse 1. What shall we say then? Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? Let me ask you a question. Do you think that woman went right back to her lover? Mm-mm. What then? What shall we say then? Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? God forbid. How shall we that are dead to sin live any longer therein? Know ye not that so many of us as were baptized into Jesus Christ were baptized into His death? This is not talking about water baptism. This is talking about the immersion into Christ's death. You went to Calvary whenever you got saved. Whether you knew it or not, you was in Calvary whenever you got saved. And you immersed yourself in Christ whenever you got saved. You were baptized or immersed into Christ. Therefore are we buried in Him and by baptism into death. And that like as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so, we also should walk in newness of life. For if we have been planted together in the likeness of His death, we shall also be in the likeness of his resurrection. Knowing this, that our old man is crucified with him, and that the body of sin might be destroyed, that henceforth we should not serve sin. For he that is dead is freed from sin. Totally free. Those chains are gone. You've been set free. The yoke of sin is no longer on your neck. Amen. For he that is dead is freed from sin. Now if we be dead with Christ, we believe that we shall also live with him. We have a home in heaven. And we're going to heaven one day. Knowing that Christ, being raised from the dead, dieth no more. Death hath no more dominion over him. For in that he died unto sin once. But in that he liveth unto God. Likewise, this is what we ought to do. Reckon ye also yourselves to be dead indeed unto sin, but alive unto God through Jesus Christ our Lord. Let not sin therefore reign in your mortal bodies, that ye should obey it in the lust thereof. Neither yield ye your members as instruments of unrighteousness unto sin, but yield yourselves unto God as those that are alive from the dead, and your members as instruments of righteousness unto God. For sin shall not have dominion over you, for ye are not under the law, but under grace. You are saved by grace. Calvary, his death, burial, and resurrection provided that grace for you and me. That punishment that you and I deserve, the Lord took it at Calvary and set us free. If you trust Christ as your Savior, you are free indeed. Amen. So you can know what it's like to be forgiven. But are you appreciating your forgiveness like you should? Do you have a besetting sin in your life? A lot of us do. But are you laying it at the foot of the cross? What are you doing with it? Are you showing your appreciation for what the Lord did for you? Are you living for Him? Are you trusting Him day by day? Or are you making excuses? Are you making excuses? There are those, unfortunately, who don't show their love for the Lord like they should. Turn with me to Luke chapter 7. We all struggle, don't we? Luke chapter 7, verse 36. There are also those who struggle to show their forgiveness in other ways too, in their service. Luke chapter 7, verse 36. And one of the Pharisees desired him that he would eat with him, and he went into the Pharisee's house and sat down to meat. Behold, a woman in the city, which was a sinner, when she knew that Jesus was sat at meat in the Pharisee's house, brought an alabaster box of ointment and stood at his feet behind him weeping, and began to wash his feet with tears, and did wipe them with the hairs of her head, and kissed his feet, and anointed them with the ointment. Now when the Pharisee, which had bidden him, saw it, he spake within himself, saying, this man, if he were a prophet, would have known who and what manner of woman this is that toucheth him, for she is a sinner. And Jesus answering said unto him, Simon, I have somewhat to say unto thee. And he saith, Master, say on. There was a certain creditor which had two debtors. The one owed 500 pence and the other 50. And when they had nothing to pay, he frankly forgave them both. Tell me, therefore, which of them will love him the most? Simon answered and said unto him, I suppose that he to whom he forgave the most. And he said unto him, Thou hast rightly judged. And he turned to the woman and said unto Simon, Seest thou this woman? I entered into thine house, and thou gavest me no water for my feet. That was a custom. Whenever you entered into a man's house, he washed your feet. He said, You didn't even do that for me. I entered into thine house, and thou gavest me no water for my feet. But she washeth my feet with tears, and wipeth them with the hairs of her head. A woman's hair is her glory. She wiped his feet with her hair. That is a humbling thing, is it not? Simon did not wash the Lord's feet, but she washed his feet with tears in her hair. Thou gavest me no kiss. But this woman, since the time I came in, hath not ceased to kiss my feet. My head with oil thou didst not anoint, but this woman hath anointed my feet with ointment. Wherefore I say unto thee, her sins, which are many, are forgiven, for she loved much. But to whom little is forgiven, the same loveth little. I have gone to a lot of churches in my life. I've traveled a lot with my work and things of that nature. And so I've had the privilege to meeting a lot of different people in a lot of different churches. And a lot of these churches, every single one of them contains people who was born and raised in the church. And every one of them contains people who was saved out of the world and out of the beer joints and out of the prison houses and out of the pool halls. And one thing I noticed is there's a pattern. And I'm not talking bad about people who are raised in church. It's good to train a child in the way that they should go. Amen? I'm not in the least bit way talking bad about people who are raised in church. But the thing is, there are a lot of exceptions to this rule now. There's a lot of people that are an exception. But a lot of the people who grew up in church, they go to church simply because that's just what we do. They read their Bible simply because that's just what we do. They go to the Lord in prayer because that's just what they do. And then you get somebody who got saved out of the pool halls, out of the jailhouses, and out of the bar scene and everything, and they love coming to the house of the Lord. They love it. They want to show their appreciation to the Lord and worship Him in spirit and in truth. They eat it up. They love it. And then whenever they go to the Word of God, they read their Bible and they take it in. They take it in. They love it. And then whenever they go to the Lord in prayer, oh, thank you, God, for saving me. Thank you, God, for loving me. I don't deserve it, but you love me. And the people who were born and raised in church, they do that too. Don't get me wrong. But a lot of them do it simply because a lot of them. I'm saying there's a lot of exceptions, but there are some of them. They just do it because that's just what we do. And the people who were born and raised in church, they have the most beautiful, beautiful testimonies of it all because they don't have to live with the regrets. They don't have to live with, it's a beautiful testimony. They don't have to live with the regrets, the painful memories of the past. It's a beautiful testimony. And I'm just trying to show some of you that you got something to give God glory for and be excited about. God has been good to every single one of us. He has been good to every single one of us. Every testimony is beautiful because all of them start at Calvary. My next point is remembering forgiveness. Remembering forgiveness. Now, before I go into this next point, the person who got saved at the age of 7 years old is just as saved as the person who got saved at 70 years old. Everybody is saved the same way. It all begins at Calvary. And everybody's testimony is beautiful. I wanted to say that before I moved on. My third point is remembering forgiveness. 2 Peter chapter 1. We begin reading in verse 1. Second Peter, chapter 1. Simon Peter, a servant and an apostle of Jesus Christ, to them that have obtained like precious faith with us through the righteousness of God and our Savior, Jesus Christ. Grace and peace be multiplied unto you through the knowledge of God and of Jesus Christ, Jesus our Lord, according to his divine power, and hath given unto us all things that pertain unto life and godliness, through the knowledge of him that hath called us to the glory and virtue, whereby are given unto us exceeding great and precious promises, that by these ye might be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. And beside this, giving all diligence, add unto your faith virtue, and to virtue, knowledge, and to knowledge, temperance, and to temperance, patience, and to patience, godliness, and to godliness, brotherly kindness, and to brotherly kindness, charity. And if these things be in you and abound, they make you that ye shall neither be barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. But he that lacketh these things is blind and cannot see afar off, and hath forgotten that he had been purged from his old sins. That's what the Bible says. Wherefore, the rather, brethren, give diligence to make your calling and election sure. For if ye do these things, ye shall never fall. Understand that whenever a Christian grows, he sanctifies us. We're called to be set apart, sanctified, set apart. And sanctification is a growing process. The Lord saves you by his grace, and then he starts working on you by his Holy Spirit. He wants you to show virtue, and then all these other attributes. He mentions virtue, and then he adds knowledge, and then he adds godliness to your life. That's our growing process. He's teaching us to grow, and then he adds to godliness, brotherly kindness, and then brotherly kindness, charity, or love. He's adding these things to our life as we grow. In verse 10, it says, wherefore, rather, brethren, give diligence to make your calling and election sure. If you do these things, you shall never fail. Basically, the Word of God is saying, if you have forgotten that you have been purged of your old sins, you might want to check up on your salvation. It says, give diligence to make your calling and election sure. If you're doubting your salvation because of the lack of fruit in your life, make your calling and election sure. Check up on it. Read 1 John and get assurance. And if it doesn't give you assurance, get saved. 1 John is the book of Christian assurance. I've been teaching verse by verse through that on Sunday school. But it says to make your calling election sure. The Bible says, the Lord said, you'll know them by their fruit. You'll know them by their fruit. For if these things abide in you, verse 8, and abound, they make you that ye shall neither be barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. You'll know them by their fruit, right? My next point is sharing forgiveness. Sharing forgiveness. We talked about receiving forgiveness. We talked about appreciating forgiveness. We talked about remembering forgiveness. What about sharing forgiveness? Colossians chapter 3. Sharing forgiveness. Colossians 3:12. Put on, therefore, as the elect of God, holy and beloved bowels of mercies, kindness, humbleness of mind, meekness, long-suffering, forbearing one another, and forgiving one another. If any man have a quarrel against any, even as Christ forgave you, so also do ye. As sure as the Lord forgave you, like he forgave that woman, as sure as he forgave you, the same way he forgave that woman, you need to drop your stones and forgive your neighbor. We're called to live like Christ. You know the old saying, what would Jesus do? What would Jesus do? Some of you may be harboring anger in here today. You may have a nature, you may have a neighbor, excuse me, that you're angry with. We need to be more compassionate towards them. You know, whenever you hear the word compassion, lots of times people say, well, I believe in being compassionate, being good to those who are less fortunate than you. Not just them. Not just those who are physically disabled unlike you. That's not just them. Being compassionate to those who have wronged you. We're called to be like Christ. And the Lord forgave that woman. The same way he forgave you, you need to share forgiveness and forgive your neighbor, regardless of whatever they've done to you. I don't care if they apologize to you or not. You need to forgive your neighbor. Amen? You need to forgive your neighbor. The woman broke the Lord's commandment. The Lord Jesus is the great I Am. The same I Am that gave them the commandments, thou shalt not commit adultery. She not only sinned against herself, she sinned against the Lord who said, he that's without sin, let him cast a stone at her. She sinned against him. If any person had a right to throw a stone at her, he was sinless. If anybody had a right to throw a stone at her, it could have been Christ. But he didn't do that. He extended mercy. I don't care how justifiable your reason is for being mad at your neighbor. Put your stones down. Put your stones down. Everybody gets mad at somebody at some point or another. I was mad at somebody earlier this week. I was so mad my ears were red. And then as I thought about it, prayed about it, what's the use? So I put my stone down. That's enough. He don't have to apologize to me. I dropped my stone already. Don't worry about it. You going to drop your stones too? Somebody, you may be mad at somebody. You going to drop your stones too? Maybe you're in here today and you've never experienced forgiveness. Maybe you're in here today, you're lost, and you don't know the Lord, and you've never experienced forgiveness. Can I rest? You can rest assured. You can experience forgiveness today. The Lord Jesus died on the cross for your sins, and he was buried and rose from the grave on the third day. And if you'll trust him as your crucified, buried, and risen Savior, he'll save you right where you are and forgive you just like he forgave this woman. Maybe you're in here today and you think, you know, the Lord's been good to me. I have not appreciated his forgiveness like I should have. Maybe you are in here today and you realize, you know, despite the rainy days, despite the hard times I go through, you know, God's been good to me. Maybe you want to come and thank the Lord for what all He's done for you, for saving your soul and giving you a home in heaven. Maybe you're in here today and you're having problems remembering forgiveness. You can leave here assured today. Amen? Maybe you're in here today and you're having a hard time sharing forgiveness. Why don't you come to this altar and drop your stone in this altar? Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you for this day. Thank you for loving us. And I just pray, Lord, that you may be glorified through this, Lord. Lord, help us all to be closer to you each day. In the most precious, holy name of Jesus, amen. Why don't you come and give it to the Lord today? Why don't you drop your stone in the altar? Give it to the Lord.